Hi there, this is Sophie with Modern Classics, where I attempt to prove that ancient stories are like super related to our modern world. Like, super related. Last time, we talked about Aristotle's view of friendship and how it was demonstrated through the virtuous and good Damon and Phintias. And we'll for sure get to them in just a bit, but before we do, I have a question that I've been thinking about a lot as of late that I think we should all think about as we continue to listen. Should we treat our friends like we treat others? Do we have some moral obligation to do so? And if we do, doesn't that defeat the purpose of having a friend? Remember how I said that the legend of Damon and Phintias ends? Phintias comes back, rescues Damon, blah, 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 the king pardons them, blah, blah, and asks to be a part of their inspiring friendship. Well, at least I said last time that that was the end, but that's not the whole truth. There's just a little bit more, just one part that I kept out because I don't think Aristotle would have liked it much, but I guess now is the time to share. So here it is. When the king asks to be their friend, Damon and Phintias refuse him. So, I think we can all agree that it's good to have friends, like, we all know that. Science has, like, confirmed it or something. So, it's good to have friends, but not all friendships are good. Sometimes they can be destructive, toxic, codependent. Sometimes exclusive. Think Damon and Phintias, for example. Sometimes our friends are the ones who have the most power to hurt us. Unlike Aristotle, Alexander Nehamas, who is almost as accomplished as him as a professor of humanities at Princeton University, believes that we value friendship not because it's good, but because it's beautiful. In fact, Nehamas disagrees with Aristotle on, well, a lot. He thinks that there is a fundamental flaw in defining the perfect friendship as the one that is between the virtuous. His argument kind of goes like this. Virtue is supposed to be impartial and universal, and so the virtuous have to, in theory, act the same way towards all people. So to be like, I'll do this for you because we're friends, and I won't do it for him because, well, we're not friends, would be immoral. Or at least Aristotle would have thought so. Nehamas thinks that friendship requires people to be partial and preferential. That it's essential we treat our friends unlike how we treat others. So we can see that friendship is dependent on differences, which is one of the reasons Nehamas calls friendship beautiful. For something to be beautiful, it must be different from other mundane things around it. It must stand out, as it must be with friendship too. Nehamas also believes that you can be a truly good friend and still be very destructive. As evidence, he uses the film Thelma and Louise, which I haven't seen, but he describes it as two women who commit a crime. One of them shoots a man who is trying to rape the other. Then they go to Mexico because they obviously don't want to be caught, and they end up committing more crimes, like they rob a store, they shut a policeman in the trunk of his car, sorry for all the spoilers, by the way, and as they do all that, they become really good friends, but their friendship stems from acts we consider immoral, or at least we have in the past. Thelma and Louise are people who have become something that the other can be proud of, even though it depended on immoral means. He argues further that there is no action that is characteristic of friendship, and like, he's right. In order for it to be a friendly act, it has to be done out of friendship, for the friend's sake. Like, for example, I can do something nice for someone and do it because, I don't know, maybe I have an obligation to do so or something. Or it could be because I think I can gain something from doing so. Or it could just simply be because we're friends. And in all three cases, the action is the same. It's in the intentions, the motivations for the actions where the friendship lies. The content means nothing without the context. Now, let's take a look at how Damon and Fintius have been transformed over time, or in truth, how their tale hasn't, like, at all. At their core, Damon and Fintius have remained the same. Like, their names have been used in pop culture time and time again, from Shakespeare's Hamlet to Leave It to Beaver and all that, and it's never been twisted. Which is odd for such an old legend, but no, each time it's used in the purest sense, forever referring to friends who trust and love each other. And I think I have an explanation as to how this could have happened. So, as Nehamas has showed us, we seek out friends, and we lose them too, and we can ruin them along the way, and we make ourselves and others upset. It happens, it does, and it's the worst. So when we're confronted with what seems like a foolproof friendship, two buds who have gone through thick and thin and have come out the other end in one piece, we hold on to it, preserve it, we respect it. Friendship has been around since forever, as our pal Aristotle proves, and it will remain until the end of time. At least, I like to think so. And so it's nice to have a standard to strive for. One that we've all agreed is off limits to screw up. Well, those are some thoughts on friendship. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.